Hello, and welcome to the Green Tea Party,
where we discuss conservative solutions to environmental problems. I'm Hannah Rogers.
My name is Zach Torpy.
And I'm Katie Zakreski. Together, we'll guide you through complex issues and provide strategies to address them,
all while remaining faithful to our conservative values.
Trust me, it'll be a good time.
Yeah, it's a party, so grab your mugs and we'll pour the tea.
It's that kind of time of year again. We are approaching on Earth Day. I'm celebrating. I don't know how you guys are. I think we should make every day Earth Day.
Oh, yeah.
But sure. This year, I'm throwing a big blowout party. One thing about me, my friends, know is I love to throw parties. It's an environmentally sustainable, very environmentally conscious party, and it's Lorax themed. So everyone has to dress as a character from the Lorax. I'm going to be the Lorax.
That is so great. Oh,
I know. I'm so excited. My friends and I will listen to the Lorax soundtrack together all the time because the Lorax is just like such a good
metaphor for environmentalism. That's got a good soundtrack.
It does. And it has a good soundtrack. And so I'm going to throw a Lorax themed party. We're going to sit down all together and read Dr. Seuss's book. And then we might watch the movie, but I don't really have that much time at the party to do that. And I'm sure we'd rather be socializing. Yeah. But I've sent out like 110 invitations. So I'm hoping it's big because I want everyone to come and eat my vegan, environmentally conscious food and talk about what environmentalism means to them. So, yeah. That's my way of celebrating. What are you guys doing?
Probably going to dress up as Danny DeVito because I've already got his build. And I'll be Danny DeVito being the Lorax.
Danny DeVito is the Lorax?
Yeah, he's the Lorax. That's a woman. Yeah, that's Danny DeVito.
I have no idea.
See now there's another layer. So if y'all don't want to watch the Lorax, you can just watch It's Always Sunny. So
that's
But in all seriousness, I don't know. I'm not going to get too into the weeds on this one. But there is supposedly a abandoned grotto near where I live that was like installed in the 40s along one of the nature trails here, and it got really overgrown with vegetation, and people have not been able to find it for a few decades. And I've been going through some of the archives and maps for the area, and I think I've got a pretty good idea of where it's at. So my fiance and I are going to fly a drone over it and see if we can't like locate it and kind of fix it up for Earth Day.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, not quite up there with the Lorax, but...
Well, I was about to say, the Lorax party is not quite up there with the grotto.
Oh, well, so I don't know.
We'll outshine each other.
Maybe we'll find the Lorax at the grotto, and maybe it was just a grotto for the Lorax.
It's actually just hiding in the bushes.
Right, like wearing all orange. Yeah.
Like... Oh my gosh. I'm just like, Katie, it's been so long since I saw you on Monday night.
I saw you hacking down trees on your way to the grotto. Like
what are you doing?
That's not very Lorax of you.
Aren't we on an environmental podcast together?
You're right. Like every tree I cut down, every like branch that I cut down on the way to the grotto, you beat me with it afterwards. Like, I speak for the trees.
Yeah, I speak with the trees. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Daddy, no.
Zach, what about you? Are you going to be beating anybody with the sticks that they cut down?
My company usually does a education thing for elementary school around Earth Day to teach kids about like water and how to conserve it and be more water efficient and where like the water for Colorado comes from and where our town's water comes from.
You know, that seems a little more productive than beating me with foliage, but I mean, you know, to each their own. No, that is awesome. That's so great.
That's so cool. So you're going to be, you know, doing environmentally minded stuff and I'm throwing a party. I mean, maybe I'll find somewhere to volunteer that day, I guess. But so far, I'm like a perfect opportunity to throw a party. So let's start with the first. Would you rather? Would you rather volunteer or throw a party?
Oh,
on Earth Day.
Man, that's a Man, that is tough. Would I rather volunteer or throw a party? Well,
or attend a party.
You see, here's why I'm conflicted on that one, Hannah. Because if I'm going to volunteer, I'm probably going to be volunteering to clean up. But if I throw a party, I'm going to have to clean up anyway afterwards.
Exactly.
So what if we had like an outdoor party where we like cleaned up an area and listened to music while we did it? We could do both.
That's true. That's true. I could throw a party that involves us sorting recycled materials.
And if you're a public servant at heart, volunteering is a party.
Volunteering really is a party, actually. I've never had a bad experience.
It can be a lot of fun. Yeah, okay, yeah, volunteering parties from now on out. Go organize a volunteering party.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be the way to go, if that makes sense. Okay, so let's jump into these would you rathers.
Our last episode went so well. I had a few people tweet to me and they were like, okay, this came up at the perfect time because I was taking a road trip visiting somebody. It was first weekend in spring, weather was finally nice, went outside, and they listened and they had a whole lot of fun. So I figure with spring break around the corner and Earth Day around the corner, and hopefully you're organizing an outdoor volunteering party, you can listen to this and get more ideas for things to do in your environment. So here's another Would You Rather Conservative Environmentalist Edition episode.
Yes. All right, let's jump into it. Zach, do you want to lead us off? Okay. Would you rather use a reusable water bottle and coffee cup or reduce your household waste to almost zero? I'm confused because doesn't using a reusable water bottle and coffee cup also reduce your household waste?
Yeah.
Was that versus reducing to zero?
I'm wondering more so like if you're going out, like if you bring your own takeout containers and your own cups and stuff like that, and you don't have to use like plastic water bottles. So like, would you rather clean up your act outside of your house or inside of your house, if that makes sense? What do you think about that?
I mean, I would go zero for your household. That's a lot of reduction compared to, I mean, I already use a reusable water bottle, so I don't need the part of that.
I was about to say, yeah, I feel like I'm reusable water bottle. Man, I'm going to be honest, though. As somebody with 5 pets who eats a lot of takeout, because that's what the economy says right now, dude, it would be nothing short of an absolute Vatican-approved miracle for me to be able to reduce my household waste to almost zero. Like I don't even know that it's attainable. So I'm going to do the easy cop-out reusable water bottle and coffee cup simply because I think that's what's feasible for me.
Yeah, I feel like...
Hannah, what do you think? What are you going with?
Okay, so I'm thinking about this in terms of feasibility and then also in terms of, like, impact. So my house right now is almost all the way to zero waste, though. And I found it pretty easy to do that for me. But think about it, guys. I don't eat anything that is packaged, really, because I'm a vegan. Everything I eat comes with a package grown
on
top of it. That's
true, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and so it's pretty easy for me because the only thing I'm really was really worried about is, like, lentils. But then I just went to, like, a bulk store and brought my own jar. So it wasn't that bad. So I feel like my lifestyle is pretty much all the way there to zero waste. So I think what's left for me to do is definitely that takeout container stuff. I always forget my takeout containers. I always forget my reusable water bottle. And I always forget my reusable coffee cup. So I feel like I definitely have a long way to go in terms of what's going on outside of the house. Mm-hmm. Because I've just been focusing on what's going on inside the house so much. And in fact, my entire makeup routine, my face routine, like my skincare routine, and my shower and all my hygiene products are completely zero waste. And so is my kitchen, my toilet paper is too. Like everything is very like environmentally conscious. And
would you please just like put a link to all your stuff like in the notes for this episode? Because now you've scratched like the little itch on my brain that's like I've gotta do that now.
Yeah, I mean the first thing that it started was with toothpaste. Mm-hmm. I just got like the toothpaste capsules that they send you like a refill
in
like a compostable paper bag once every 3 months. And it actually like my breath smells so good. My teeth look amazing. And also like I don't ever have to worry about if I'm on an airplane, my toothpaste like exploding everywhere. Oh, all over
yeah. And then instead, I just the TSA is like, "What are these little capsules?
What are these capsules? What are these little capsules? Is this cocaine? Yeah. Is this cyanide? Is this cyanide? Toothpaste. Are you trying to kill us?
It's toothpaste. Yeah. Please don't have to pat me down. Please."
Yeah. So I feel like I could definitely go a little bit further in my house. I still sometimes my roommate will bring something home. But I'm pretty much there. So definitely outside the house, I always kind of make excuses outside the house. And it's like, well, I mean, really, it doesn't take that much effort to make a little bit of a change, you know?
Mm.
Okay, what about you, Zach? What's the next one you're going to talk about?
Would you rather conserve water by collecting rainwater or reduce your paper usage significantly?
Ooh.
Okay, I have to answer this one. It's illegal in Utah to collect rainwater.
Man, you were right. You are one step ahead of me, Hannah. I am Googling rainwater collection system legality map.
It is very illegal in Utah to collect rainwater.
Why?
Because Utah, I don't know.
Man, imagine trying to say people, the state owns rainwater. You do not own rainwater. Nobody, man, that has always blown my mind. Like, why are we trying to commodify the Earth's natural resources?
How about I modify the question a little bit? Would you rather install a gray water reuse system or reduce your paper waste?
Better question.
I would definitely reduce my paper waste still. Because, I don't know, I feel like I think that paper is probably a little bit more environmentally intensive where I'm coming from, if that makes sense, than a lot of the water waste issues that happen in Salt Lake. But I don't have a lawn, and I don't take a lot of showers. So I don't think my water footprint is too high, and my paper footprint is definitely really, really high because, yeah, I was about to say that, and startup, so always doing student/startup things. So, what about you guys?
Confession.
Okay.
I am confession. A bit of a dragon when it comes to paper. I hoard that stuff like nobody's business, and it's because I'm a voracious reader and I write for a living. I hope there's never a fire in my apartment because it's going to be gone in 5 minutes. Like, my paper usage is absolutely unhinged. So, as hard as it would be, I think it's almost necessary for my quality of life to say reducing paper usage. Because if this keeps up, I am doomed.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, you are a writer, though, so it makes sense.
And that's true. I've at least got that excuse.
Yeah, like you said the other week. Yeah, I was going to say, you said, Katie, the other week, Arkansas is not you're not worried about water there.
Right, yeah, and it's just kind of like a free-for-all in terms of water. So I think it would probably be best if I, either reduced my paper usage or found a way to, wisely recycle the paper that I use. Like, if it's printed on one side, fold it to where the blank side is out and then bind it into journals. Cause I have done that where I take paper that was only printed on one side, fold it and then make journals out of it. Wow. So I think that that would be my stipulation. Okay, either reduce my paper usage or find a way to reuse the used paper.
So as someone who works in the water industry, I love water efficiency. I would love to have a house with a rainwater collection system, have a gray water reuse system, have all my wastewater discharge into a pond and a system that can efficiently clean it out and have it filter out to a garden. So I'm all about the water efficiency and finding ways to make water go longer and last longer.
You know, I wonder, I think there's good applications for things like that, even in states like Arkansas, Zach, because there are so many people now who are trying to move off the grid or who are doing the homesteader thing, who could really use like your knowledge and expertise on like stretching whatever water you have as far as you can, or using it in the most efficient way, or how to reuse it, or things of that nature. Like, I feel like even if you were to move to like a state like Arkansas, where water's kind of a free for all, that knowledge is like so valuable to be mm-hmm. able to like really be resource independent and to do so in an efficient way. I really want to pick your brain about that at some point.
Me too.
Yeah, we could definitely do an episode on water and efficiencies, and
I want to do that. Yeah, like the homesteader, the little house on the prairie, Laura Ingalls Wilder in me really wants to pick your brain on water usage and water regulation and water
permaculture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, permaculture, things like that, so that here in a few years I can be living my pioneer woman dream. So we'll see. All right, I'm like torn between two questions I want to ask, but I'm going to go with this one. Would you rather encourage your community to adopt green roofs or implement a bike sharing program?
Bike sharing, hands down.
Go on. I just want to hear your reasoning on this. I'm going to wait to save my answer. I want to hear what you think.
Okay, so when we're talking about green roofs, are we mean like greenscaping on roofs, or are we talking about solar panels on roofs, or are we talking about changing the albedo of roofs?
I'm gonna say like rooftop gardens. Okay. Literal green roofs.
Well, that means bike sharing, because rooftop gardens screams I have a lot of money and I can afford to have a garden on top of my roof. Because you know what? A garden on the side of your house, like in your backyard, in your front yard, is just as good as a garden on your roof. It's just really wealthy people can afford gardens on their rooms. And I think a bike sharing thing would help a lot of people who can't afford cars or who don't live close by to transportation. And so bike sharing would be super, super helpful. And it'd be a great opportunity for people to run into each other and develop a little bit of a stronger community. What do you guys think?
Hey, Zach.
As someone who lives in like an urban community, I would probably also say bike sharing, but I do want to make the argument for the green garden. Like, right, I live in an apartment building, so I would love to have like some like a community garden slapped onto the top of our apartment building, like greenhouse just up there, so I could grow some food and grow some herbs, mm-hmm. and it would just be nice.
Mm.
And I also would love some solar panels up on my roof to reduce my electric bill, but HOA said no to that.
HOA said no.
HOA says no to everything.
Because it's an HOA. I know,
my HOA is like...
HOA is a perfect example of big government. It truly is a good example of big government.
Run by the five most annoying people in your building.
Oh my God. The people who post 400 times on Ring Community, like it is their full-time job. That is always the HOA people, dude. Okay. I have like really... I've debated on this one in my mind since the last time we recorded a Would You Rather episode. And I feel like I could make an argument either way, and I'm just going to go ahead and outline that. Bike share program, we had something similar to that here where I'm from. It was like a scooter share program, and it got so out of hand that it almost became like a local meme, because there were these little lime scooters. Something just fell in my apartment, like here in my office. I have no idea what it was. If you're a poltergeist who doesn't support mitigating climate change, tap the wall twice. Okay, I didn't hear anything, so I'm going to assume I'm not in danger. And it almost became a meme, because people were like leaving them in the street, like on corners. They were throwing them places. They would like ride a scooter from like 30 minutes away, like the next town over, and just dump it. And it like to the point where the city like took it away, which I mean sucks, because it was really great for tourists and young people to use to really make their way around town. But a lot of people found ways to like break the system really quickly, and it just wasn't that effective. And so in my heart I was like, oh, green rooftops. And then I was like, oh, I think because there's so much, and maybe I'm completely wrong here, dude. Like, maybe there's an architectural expert who's going to listen to this and be like, okay, you're way out of bounds here. But I think because there's so much heavy foliage here in Arkansas, there aren't many flat top buildings. Like the roofs of buildings aren't flat. Like they're angled. And so I was like, okay, I don't even know that a green roof would be viable, like in most communities. Because I'm thinking like where I grew up, like a low income inner city community.
And I'm you could like, do like okay, a Viking roof.
Yeah, right. Like, and so that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, if I'm thinking like a low income inner city community, like the one that I'm from, not a lot of people had cars. Having a bike share program might mitigate some of that crime that you see from people stealing bikes. I mean, we talked about that in our last episode about, mm-hmm. you know, or here a couple weeks ago about the theft of bikes being so high these days. So something like that might help a low-income community. And then I was like, well, people kind of need to eat before they go places. So I was like, oh, a green roof. True. And then I was like, okay, well, none of the houses where I'm from would even be able to support a system like that. So then I was like, community garden. But that's not an option. So when I have no answer. I think maybe bike share program, just because I think of, like, in my community, that's going to be the easiest to implement and the most beneficial. Like, you're going to get the most bang for your buck from that option.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that definitely.
But now, okay. But now that I'm reading the question, I'm like, ChatGPT did not account for poor people when it wrote some of these questions.
I doubt it usually does.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
it's AI. It literally yeah. doesn't understand what it's like to pay, though.
Even the AI has more privilege than me these days, gang.
Oh, gosh.
The Terminator okay. ain't paying taxes.
'Tis the season.
Terminator ain't paid taxes. All right. Is it my turn or is it someone yes. else's turn?
I think it's your turn.
All right. Yeah, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Would you rather buy secondhand clothing or only purchase sustainable, ethically made clothing? This is a great question because I think you could say, let's change this to say, would you rather buy secondhand clothing or, well, would you rather have buy secondhand products? So we're going to talk about all products. Mm-hmm. Or only buy sustainable, ethically made clothing. So this is another one.
I'm going to take a stab at this one, Hannah, because you just revealed the chink in the armor for me. When you're morbidly obese like me, you don't get to buy clothes that are, that are ethically and sustainably made. You are very much at the mercy of whatever you can find. The environmentally friendly movement does not care about fat people. So there have been a lot of times that my friends wear cute clothes that are like sustainably made and things of that nature. And I'm like, oh, they don't make anything past like 1X. So I'm doomed. So I think that so if there are any wealthy investors out there who are also fashion designers, I see you. Mm-hmm. See me. So if we're just going to talk about secondhand products versus sustainable, ethically made products. I'm going to go sustainable, ethically made products. And I say that because when I buy a bunch of secondhand products, it's usually like knick-knacky things. Like I think of like the random things I see at Goodwill and I'm like, oh, that's a cute ceramic container. I could put my pins in there. It's not like I am in desperate need of this product right now. Like, you know, like it's, if I'm getting it secondhand, it's kind of like a niche item. Like, you're kind of at the mercy of whatever you can find or get your hands on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to completely contradict almost everything that I've said up to this point and go with purchase sustainable, ethically made products.
I disagree with you. I'll let you. Katie.
Go ahead. That's the glory of would you rather.
Well, so the reason I disagree with you, Katie, is because there's already so much stuff out there. There's so much.
Yeah.
Like, I was reading a statistic that the amount of stuff that we produce and consume is equivalent in the first 20 years of the 21st century to how much our grandparents and our great-grandparents and our parents' generation produced and consumed in the entire 20th century. Like, oh my God. Fifth of the way through the century and we've already produced and consumed as much as the entirety of the generations before us throughout the entire 20th century.
I wonder if part of that is because of the Amazon effect. Because I think when you're buying something secondhand, you have to, like, take the time to look for it, ask if anybody else has one, visit flea markets and Goodwills. Whereas I think the Amazon effect has been like, no, I want it now. I wanted it yesterday, but I'll take now, like, no later than tomorrow. And so if you can just, like, purchase something sustainable and you can get it, like, right away, you're going to do that.
Yes, exactly. And I agree with that it's really convenient and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like another thing is it's good for my wallet to be purchasing sustainable, not sustainable, secondhand things because, you know, I go to the Goodwill and I roll out with a whole new wardrobe for $60. Like, that feels amazing. Right. There's a reason why Malcolm Moore wrote a song about this. And like another thing is then I don't have to worry about where it came from because I'm still going to worry about it if, you know, I buy something brand new. But then again, I don't buy everything brand new. I don't buy my underwear brand new because, sorry, that's just something I don't really want
to. Wait, you do buy your underwear brand new or secondhand?
I do.
Oh,
okay. Oh, I do buy my underwear brand new.
You just go to... Yeah, you just go to the Goodwill bin and like reach to the very bottom and you're like, yeah, this is it. This is it.
I meant to say the opposite. No. I buy my underwear brand new. I was going to say, I don't buy everything used. The only things I buy brand new are like, you know, underwear, undergarments, socks. I'll usually buy brand new.
I was going to say, if it's like a health related or like an undergarment, dude, it's got to be new.
Yeah. So for me, My philosophy is kind of like, I will always buy used with the exception of a few things. So, and when I do buy those things new, I always buy the sustainable versions of them, if that makes sense.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So like, if you've got to like choose, it's when you're at the grocery store. Okay. Zach, what about you?
Sorry,
Hannah. I did not mean to cut you off. What were you saying?
Oh, I was going to say, Zach, go ahead. That's what I was going to say. Then you beat me to it.
All right. Well, I so did not want to be like, Hannah, that's cool. All right. Okay. But like,
bye. Even if you did that, I've had the talking stick for so long, so I would not blame you.
You guys are funny.
I was about to say, most of the show, you've probably noticed, is just me and Hannah trading the talking stick and Zach being like, hello. Hi. Hello.
Jump in one again.
And when you talk, you do say very valuable things. So we're thankful for you, Zach.
Well, I speak many words, or few words do the good. So I, as someone who's like had to like revamp my wardrobe, going from a mechanic to a engineer working in an office this past couple years, I've been able to buy almost exclusively through thrift shopping and buying used stuff, and I love it. It's so much cheaper. I find great quality stuff. Like I wear like some cool like old shirts like to work. It's very
awesome.
I haven't bought a new piece of clothing in like probably 2 or 3 years.
Hopefully your underwear and your socks though are brand new, right?
I've been wearing the same.
There was hesitation.
I've had a bunch of pairs since like high school and they haven't worn out.
Fair enough. You know, I've noticed that with like boys' clothes. It's like, yeah, I've had this since junior high. I'm like, how? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And here's
the same
thing.
Height.
Is like, I always buy things that are going to last me a really long time if I'm buying something brand new. I do not believe in planned obsolescence. Not my thing. Mm. That was quite the outrageous way to say that. I was pretty outraged when I said that.
But, I always buy used phones.
Used, yep, same. I buy
older
used phones.
Used car.
Gosh,
I don't understand how people can drop like $1,000 on a new phone when you're going to need an upgrade in 2 years.
Oh my god!
And the version that's like 2 years older is like five. It's like half off.
Yeah, exactly. I've never been able to wrap my mind around that.
And this
that kind of
same money. Specs, nothing changed.
Mm-hmm, exactly. One more lens on the camera that does not improve the camera quality, but whatever.
I still don't know what those extra lenses are for.
Neither do they, just to get you to buy another phone for $1,200.
Yeah, my old boss used to wait outside the Apple store every time a new iPhone came out.
That's mental illness. That is mental illness. Go get help. That is that cult of personality we've talked about, bro. Some cult of personality is around people. Some cult of personality is around products. iPhone, 100% cult of personality product.
Yeah, I really think like the obsession with material things is a very like new thing, if that makes sense. Because I don't know, I feel like I think back to like my grandparents' generation, they weren't like, oh my gosh, I got the new Nike slides like for $2,000. It's like, what?
Like, don't get me wrong, they had stupid shit. They had really stupid stuff that like we laugh about now, but I really don't think that anybody was flaunting their uranium lemon juicer that was going to kill them. Like I don't think like sure you had like your Pyrex and stuff like that, but I think that Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat have been absolute cancer in terms of like commodification economy, because now you've got I'm just gonna call it like it is. You've got predominantly young white women who are like, I've got to get this mirror because the frame is puffy shape instead of straight lines. And it did cost me $400, but dude, shut up. You're crazy. Go to Goodwill and get you one for $5 that might have somebody's ghost in it absolutely for free. You never know. Like, live a little bit, man. But I feel like so much social media has really increased this need to just have stuff. Not even like meaningful stuff, but just stuff to show your friends that you've got the cool thing. Like, and well, then you play with it for like a month and then you're bored because there's something else out.
Yeah. Well, one thing I think about a lot is like how with the rise of social media, there's not a lot of privacy. Like people can see into what your room looks like, what your bathroom looks like, you know, and social media makes you feel insecure about the way things look and the way things are, and then delivers you a solution in the form of, oh my gosh, you know, you hate the way that your drab bedroom looks. We'll buy these $1,600 butterfly curtains.
Have you, and it's that, like, that reminds me, Hannah, have you seen, so sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Have y'all seen, and I've seen them on like Snapchat and TikTok, but they're like subliminal commercials where it's usually just like a Korean lady or a Japanese lady who's like, this is my after work routine. And she like steps into
her apartment. She has like a billion weird
products. Yeah, like a billion weird specific gadgets that do like one thing. And it's supposed to look like so futuristic and like, look how convenient life is. And it's just like, dude, this product costs like 500 yen and probably only does one thing.
Yeah, because like it's always like, I have this machine that forms perfectly shaped dumplings. It's like,
used
to be your hands, you know?
Do y'all remember that with your hands? Y'all might not remember this. Maybe it's just because it was in my feed recently. Do y'all remember the Juicero Kickstarter? It was like this juicer that was supposed to connect to your Wi-Fi, and you would put a bag of juice on a little like hanger inside the Juicero, and you would
close
the Juicero door.
And the Juicero Mastery juicer is $31,000.
Yeah, the little juicer prototype on Kickstarter was like $400 and took like 3 minutes to juice this package. And it was like, it uses like 12 tons of force to juice your packet. And then like somebody like grabbed a bag with their hands, squeezed it into a cup in like 30 seconds for free. And it was like that stuff is where I'm like, okay, we have really jumped the shark. Like, why does everything have to be connected to Wi-Fi, dude? Like every single thing now is like Wi-Fi or Bluetooth connected. Dude, I do not need my shoes to connect to Bluetooth to let me know how many steps I took. Ain't nobody care. And who's doing what with that data? Like, what are you going to do? What? You're proving that I'm lazy, that I need to get up more often? You're just going to make me feel bad, dude? I don't want to know. Like, I can just go get these Skechers for $20 at Target, dude. Like, I don't need everything to connect to the internet and Bluetooth. Anywho, that was one hell of a like tangent.
I'm looking at
I'll stay Ron Swanson with my gun in my homestead shooting down the drones coming to spy on me.
Absolutely. That's going to be me.
That's how it should be.
Ron Swanson is like the most relatable person ever. I love him. Even though
he's not a vegan. My dad, I'm convinced my dad is Ron Swanson. He works for Parks and Tourism. He's a warehouse manager. Has the Ron Swanson mustache. Is a crazy outdoorsman. Very, like, blue-collar, like, work-with-your-hands type, like, off-the-gritter. Ron Swanson is my dad. So, there's that, ladies and gentlemen. But speaking of off-the-gritting and homesteading, I wanted to ask you all this next question. I realize that segue is not going to make sense until I explain my logic for my answer on this question. Would you rather switch to LED lighting in your home or reduce your reliance on air conditioning and heating? And I'm going to go ahead and answer first so that I can explain that weird segue so y'all aren't trying to figure out what the tie-in is. It has been, like, my weird dream for, like, 10 years to live off the grid. I'm talking, like, I went down this strange rabbit hole for the last year where I would just watch these random people, like, pick a plot of land in the middle of nowhere and then just build a freaking house, like, out of everything around them with their hands and just live in peace with their dog overlooking the land. Like, that, it was so crazy to watch people do this. And I've wanted to do that so bad, like, just live my little pioneer woman dream. Where my source of heating is, like, the fireplace. I have no idea what I'm going to do for air conditioning because Arkansas gets to be, like, 150 billion degrees with 3,000% humidity. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, if I can find a way to keep it cool and live out my homesteader dream, I'm definitely doing reducing my reliance on air conditioning and heating. What do y'all think?
Same. I agree with you, Katie. Because I have really gotten into candlelight dinners recently. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I'm... And I also only have LED... I mean, yeah, fancy. I know. Pretty cool. And I don't have LEDs in my house. So, I mean, it's the landlord that puts them in. So that's kind of something that is already taken care of. But gosh, I'll tell you, the vibes are impeccable when you're eating with a candle. I'm like, when did we stop doing this? I can hardly see your face, but like, this is the best. It's like
the
dark.
The IRS is like frantically taking notes right now. They're like, she eats by candlelight. We better have X amount of money made out to us.
Aaron. Yes, I mean, everyone. Because it does feel like a very elitist thing to, like, eat by candlelight. But then I went to the DI and bought, like, a crap ton of candles for, like, $6. And now I just, like, light them and I, like, eat my dinner.
It is strangely relaxing. At
candlelight. Yeah, it is.
And, like, that and the LED like lights are better for your time. Plants. So if you love plants, LED lighting is the way to go.
Okay, what about you, Zach?
I would definitely reduce my AC and heating cooling costs because... Heating and cooling is 43% of your household energy.
That is insane. Like,
yeah, so this is the majority of your where your energy goes for your household. So to like get those, I'm really into like passive houses. So I like look into this stuff. So building a passive house is a house that basically uses like very little energy or produces its own energy, the solar panels. But like they reduce your heating and cooling is like the number one goal. So you want to have high levels of insulation. Have like a heat pump or an energy recovery ventilator. And these systems can like really reduce how much it costs to like heat your house and saves you a lot of money long term. And yeah, it's the growth of AC throughout the developing world is and the energy that's going to take is going to be one of the major issues that the globe is going to deal with going forward. Regards to the climate change.
I was just about to say, like, rolling brownouts and blackouts and all because of air conditioning overusage and poor infrastructure and bad electric wiring.
Black roofs.
And we're in a developed country that knows how to handle this. Imagine all these developing countries are like, everyone's now trying to put in AC because everyone needs a cool off because it's getting hotter out.
So, right, or maybe even, like, taking a page out of developing countries' book. You know, they don't have window units and HVAC all over the place. Like, what are they doing that we could implement that is surely going to save us money? Systems. And right, in exactly like what you just said. Like, we don't need the fanciest, most high wattage, most expensive HVAC system. If, you know, folks in Africa figured it out, like, like what? How can we take a page from their book and, like, save ourselves also, in the long run?
It gives you an excuse to wear short shorts and tank top, which... I mean, for me, whenever I'm lounging around my house in the wintertime, don't really like to be bundled up because I feel like I'm suffocating. So, like, during the summertime, I just open my windows, make sure there's a cross breeze going across, and I feel pretty good. Okay. Zach, do you want to ask one?
Sure. Which question was I looking at? Okay. When it comes to ocean conservation, would you advocate for marine protected areas or support sustainable fishing practices?
Sustainable fishing practices. Sorry, I feel like every time I'm like talking to you, I'm like, I'm like, I have an answer right away. I don't even need to think about it. That's not actually true.
Wait, tell me why you say that, because I'm going to have probably the opposite opinion.
Because people don't know that the number one cause of ocean depletion and ocean dead zones is actually fishing. And it's also the greatest contributor to ocean plastics. And it also is the greatest contributor to species extinction in the ocean. So if you care about like marine conservation zones, which is probably because you care about conserving wildlife, the bigger target is the fishing industry, because there's so much bycatch. Like they catch sea turtles and sharks and small whales and mammals and dolphins and other fish that they didn't mean to catch. And then they just die because once they're pulled out of the water, you know, it's hard to sort through fishes quickly before they all suffocate, you know? And also what happens is once they're done with these huge plastic nets, they're like tons of plastic, like metric tons of plastic. They just throw them overboard. And as they're falling through the water to hit the ocean floor, fish will get stuck underneath it. Dolphins and other mammals, aquatic mammals will, and they will drown as they're, you know, taken to the bottom of the ocean.
And they do that in like the deep ocean where it's like no government body can regulate them.
Exactly. So I would advocate for sustainable fishing practices, because what happens on fishing boats is awful. Our action steps is to write your member of Congress. As always, go to house.gov and enter your zip code to find your member of Congress in the House of Representatives. Go to senate.gov and click to find your senators. Then select your state to find your members of Congress in the Senate. Also, watch Sea of Shadows. It's fascinating. It'll teach you a lot about what we were just talking about. The sea shepherds, how there's a lack of international regulation, and all of the above. So, for your listener, also don't forget to email us with your thoughts. Our email is info@greenteapartyradio.com. And thank you so much for listening to Green Tea Party Radio. And very special thanks to our patrons on Patreon. We really could do this without you.
If you're interested in getting early access to episodes as well as Green Tea Party Radio merch, check us out at greenteapartyradio.com. If you have feedback, tell us what's on your mind and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
Just so you know, this is our passion project. We don't have any organizational sponsor. Just a reminder that Green Tea Party Radio is not representative of the Diocese of Little Rock, Catholic Climate Covenant, or any of our employers. We're just a group of young conservatives who are building a movement because we want the world to know that young conservatives have important things to say about climate change.
If you want to hear our show on your college radio station, email us at info@greenteapartyradio.com and give us the details about your campus and your radio station. The email again is info@greenteapartyradio.com.
Oh, guys, I love doing these episodes with you.
These are so much fun.
These are fun.
Yeah, these are great. And we hope y'all enjoyed it as much as we did.
All right, thanks for listening.
Okay, let me hit stop. Nobody go anywhere.